Good. Good singing this morning. And Brother Jason, come read scripture.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Man, what great singing this morning. Gracious. Been refreshing. So glad to be in here today. Beautiful sunshine outside. And it's a great day to be in the Lord's house. Joshua chapter 2. Mr. Kenny, I see you up there. I saw Brother Daniel about a week ago or so. And we were in Hobby Lobby together. Not really. Imagine this. I met him in the gun store of all places. But, man, we had a great talk. And he's going to Texas here soon. We'll be praying for him. But, man, just had a great talk with him. Really good to see him. Joshua chapter 2, we'll read verses 9 through 11. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for the singing already that's going on this morning, Lord. And Lord, it's great to be in your house. And Lord, it's great to be here, Lord, among those, Lord, that are of like mind, that are worshiping you, Lord. And God, I do pray, if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, today would be their day. And God, Lord, the change that it's brought, Lord, into so many people's lives, my own life, so many here, Lord God, that could testify what Jesus has done for them. And Lord, just this week, and Lord, all the different things that you brought us through, and Lord, we just thank you so much for this place, God. And Lord, it's important for us to understand, Lord, that you are in control, and you are in charge of all, and you are all powerful. And Lord God, no matter what goes on in this world, Lord God, nothing goes on without you knowing about it, Lord, without your hand. And God, Lord, we understand that you allow things to happen. But Lord God, you're righteous. You're holy. And God, we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we should take comfort, Lord, if we know Jesus Christ and Lord, the Holy Spirit's within us. So we should take comfort that God, you are in charge and you will take care of things. And God, even here as in this scripture, Lord, may we not forget. And God, may you be with the message hour this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Man, again, appreciate the music. Man, great to be back in church, first of all. Man, excited about that. And I was thinking, 2 weeks ago, it was pushing 70 degrees. And then last week, had a little bit about this time, right? It was snowing outside. And then this morning, I get to be back in here soon. I'm excited to be back in the house of God. I hope you are as well. And again, thanks for the music this morning, all the choir. And then Brother Casey and Miss Paula with the special music. And then Josiah with the offertory. So thank you for and good singing this morning as well. Always good to be around God's people. And we're going to do this morning. We'll continue. We started first two Sundays here of the year, and we talked about the book of Joshua. And sort of laid the foundation of what God was going to do through Joshua and through the nation of Israel. And we're going to continue talking about the book of Joshua today. We're going to take a little detour here, right? Because we talked about Joshua himself, the people, as they followed his leadership. And really, it's a very important step here. They're just about to go over the Jordan River. And that's, man, such a big thing for them. And the book of Joshua is about the victorious Christian life. It's not, when you get to the book of Joshua, it's not perfection there. In fact, there's going to be sin that's there. There's going to be battles they have to still face. But God has promised them victory if they'll follow Him. And same thing for us. In our Christian life, if you're saved this morning, it does not mean the rest of your life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect for you. It doesn't mean you won't face battles. It does mean this. We follow the Word of God and what He says. He's promised us victory. And so it doesn't mean that everything will turn out like we think it should. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And so that's the case here with Joshua. We have a little bit of a break from that here in chapter 2. So I want to take this morning and talk really more about Rahab than we will Joshua this morning. Rahab is mentioned just a few times in the Bible. And I just want to talk about those verses we read in just a minute. We'll start with a little background, though. So look at chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land even Jericho. And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So Joshua makes a plan here. And by the way, God gives us the victory just like he was going to give Joshua the victory here. But it doesn't mean we don't plan, all right? We still have to plan. We don't sit back and say, all right, God, you take care of everything. I won't do anything. No, God still expects us to act and to live according to his word. And so Joshua here makes a plan. He sends these two. And this is not something new. You remember back, of course, Joshua had been a part of that group of spies that went into the promised land before. So now he sends these two men ahead to sort of spy out the land and to give an understanding for Joshua. And so he sends them out, and the Bible says they came to a harlot's house named Rahab. Verse number 2. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them. And said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So we have this background here of what happened. These two men go into Jericho, and they go into Rahab's house. And so I want to, in fact, hold your place there. Let's read one more verse, and then we'll talk about this for a minute. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, there's a list of those who, in the Old Testament, who served God faithfully, who lived for the Lord. And there's a fairly long list here. And really, there's mostly men. Not many women are mentioned. You have Abraham and Sarah sort of mentioned together. So they're mentioned. Sarah's name is mentioned. You don't have mentioned by name, but you do have the parents of Moses mentioned, and that would include both his father and his mother. But really, the only woman we have mentioned by herself is Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And so we have the Rahab here mentioned. She perished not with them that believed not. So back to Joshua chapter 2. And we see there, even all the way in Hebrews chapter 11, we're talking about thousands of years later, she's still referred to as a harlot. And that shows the background that she came from. And by the way, let me just tell you this morning, it also shows and says God doesn't care what your background is. He doesn't care what you've done in the past. What God cares about is your soul this morning. And he wants to save you. And just like, and the Bible says the difference in Rahab in Hebrews chapter 11 is she wasn't like the rest of them that did not believe. What separated Rahab and what separates us for Christ is our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what separates us from those who are unsaved. This morning, the only people here are saved sinners and lost sinners. They're all sinners. We're all sinners. And we like to take sin and put it in compartments. But I tell you what, it's all wrong before God, no matter what the sin is. And so if you've sinned this morning, and you have, then we all have sinned before God. It's all wrong in God's sight. And salvation comes by faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us. So we think about Rahab. She had not lived a good life. She lived an immoral life. She lived a life that was wicked before God. We don't know it at the present time as we get to Joshua chapter 2. It looks like at this point that her lifestyle has changed somewhat. We don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it doesn't seem like it was headed down the road it was before. But we understand this. There had been some things in her past, and that reputation stayed with her. So she hadn't lived a good life. What she had done, and we'll talk about this morning, she made some decisions based on a belief in God and what he had done. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But before we get there, I want to hit hit this also, because we have here in verses, really in verses 4 through 6, we have Rahab doesn't tell the truth. She doesn't tell the truth. And a couple things I'll mention with that. Number one, understand this, if we're saved this morning, those that are unsaved, we don't necessarily expect them to do everything right. They're unsaved. That does not say, that does not mean that it's okay to lie, because it's not. And I'll tell you what happens. Here's what happens. You see this throughout the Bible. When we sin, even as we're trying to do something for God, you know, we're trying to accomplish something for God, there's times that we try to do that. We can have the right motives, but do it the wrong way. Or do it with the wrong spirit, and we can do something that's wrong. When we sin in trying to do something for God, you know what happens? We limit God. We limit the miracles of God. You think about what Isaac and Rebekah there, and that story with Jacob. And so Rebekah told Jacob to lie. You know what? God had already told Isaac and Rebekah that Jacob was going to be the one that got the birthright and got the blessing. He was the one that was going to rule. The elder was going to have to serve the younger. God had already made that promise. God was going to bring that about. But when Isaac and Rebekah, and Rebekah in particular, decided to do it her way instead of God's way, you know, it limited what God could do miraculously. He was going to do something greater than what they thought. He was going to take care of it. And the same thing is true here. If Rahab hadn't lied, you know what? God could have intervened and said, hey, I'm going to make sure they can't find these guys. Or if they do find these guys, hey, what happened to Daniel? Hey, Daniel got thrown in a lion's den. Did Daniel lie about it and say, no, I'm not praying? Or yeah, I'm praying, but it's to the king. He could come up with anything he wanted to excuse what he was doing. But no, Daniel was honest before God. And what do we see? A miracle of God, right? Hey, those three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could have said, listen, look, we'll bow down on the outside, but on the inside, we're standing up. You know, they could have done that. But no, they said, we're just going to do what's right. And what happened? God miraculously saved them. Those miracles we don't get to see as much when we try to figure out our own way. So Rahab's problem was here. She tried to do it her own way instead of God's way. And that's never right for us to do. So we don't excuse her sin. But what is important, we understand this. Rahab believed God. She believed God. And her faith is what's important. And we go through all those people in Hebrews 11. They are all sinners. What was important, though, was their faith. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. The faith of Rahab. Why don't you look at verse in Joshua chapter 2. Look at verse number 10. We'll start there. It says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, and on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. I want you to understand Rahab here. Rahab lives in a land where nobody believes God. They may believe in a God. They may have false gods that they worship. But they don't believe in Jehovah. They don't believe in the God of the Israelites. And it tells us that in Hebrews chapter 11. Unlike everybody else, she actually believed. But nobody else around her believed. And so these two men come, and we see, first of all, her faith, her belief in what God had already done. She says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. She believed that God had done that. Now, the Israelites did as well. They had been there, and they had experienced that. Many of them, their parents had. Now, but the people of Jericho, they hadn't seen that. They weren't there when the Red Sea was parted. They had heard about it, obviously. But you also think about this. You know when that happened? That happened over 40 years ago. When she is talking to these two men, that's something that happened before they ever wandered in the wilderness. So we're talking about decades upon decades upon decades that have gone by. She's heard about this. She believes what God has done in the past. Let me tell you this morning, we need to believe what God has done for us already. And that's what she did. She believed in what God had already done. She says, I've heard about that. He delivered you out of Egypt. He took you out of that place of bondage that you were in. Not only do that in verse number 10, he also what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites, the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. Now this they didn't know about. It had been much more recent. This had been within the last few months, a year or so, when these kings had been destroyed, and those people in Jericho had heard about that. But she believed in what God had done. She had no, by the way, she had no reason. She had no background. She had no teaching. She had nobody training her. She didn't have a preacher to preach to her. None of that. She had heard about it, and she believed. You know how you got saved? You heard that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for you, and you believed what he did in the past for you. And you believed that he paid for your sins, and you trusted him as your Savior. If you're saved this morning, if you're not, you better believe in what God's already done for you. It's already been taken care of. Hey, just as Rahab believed in what God had done, this morning it's up to us to believe in what God has done for us already. So let me ask you first this morning, do you believe in what God has done for you? She says, our hearts did melt. Verse 11, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. That she believed in the Lord God, what he had done in the past. This morning, if you don't believe in what he's done for you, trust him today. He's taking care of your sin. She not only believed in what God had done, then look at verse number 11. And again, keep in your mind here, this is Rahab. This is somebody who grew up in a land that was against God, didn't know God, had never been taught about God. And yet she believes some things here. And again, she believes this before these ever come, and before she's ever rescued, and before she ever becomes a part of the line of Christ, which she will later on. She believes this before all that. She's already established this before these men showed up. They didn't witness to her. No, she already believed this. She already believed what she had heard. She believed in what God had done in the past. And then secondly, verse 11, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts had melt, neither remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She believed in what God had done. She also believed in who God was, right? And who he is. Again, they had false gods that they worshipped. These gods, many times, they would worship, and it's interesting, and this hasn't changed a whole lot even in modern day. But in ancient days, a lot of their gods would be something in creation. You know, something in the sky, sun, moon, stars, whatever. Or something around them. Animals or some kind of creation. Something like that is what they would tend to worship. And so those things that maybe they had a harder time explaining, they'd put those up as objects of worship. And of course they had wooden idols and things that they would make themselves. But Rahab here, unlike everyone else around her who worships false gods, she really believed who God was. And in fact, look at verse number 11. She says, for the Lord your God, talking to these two men, the Lord your God. That brought to mind, in fact, go forward to the book of Ruth. Go to the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth in chapter number 1. Rahab says, the Lord your God, referring to the Israelites of these two men, and reminds me of another woman, Ruth, as she gave her testimony in Ruth chapter 1 and verse number 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back. Naomi speaking to Ruth here in Ruth 1:15. Thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after the sister-in-law. Naomi saying, hey, go back to your family, go back to your gods. And what does Ruth say, verse 16? And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Ruth said, I want your God for my God. You know what Rahab's saying here? Hey, that's your God, but she wants their God as her God. And she believes that God that they worship, Jehovah, is the God. In fact, go back to Joshua chapter 2, and she pretty much covers everything here, right? She says, for the Lord your God, verse 11, he is God where? In heaven above and in the earth beneath. She said, he is God over all. And again, they would worship gods that would cover the sky or cover what they would see out here. And she said, no, this God that you worship, he's God over everything. Go to one of my favorite passages. Go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. David expressed this through God better than we can. Same thing that Rahab was saying to these two men and her belief of who God was. Psalms chapter 139, look at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. Isn't it great we have a God who's God in heaven above and earth beneath? We can't go anywhere and get away from God. Hey, God is all to us. And anything we do, God sees that. And Rahab understands. And she says, he's the God. He's the God in heaven above. He's God in earth beneath. He is God. She believed in who God was. So she believed in what God had done. And then she believed in who God was. Do you believe God's who he says he is? Do you really believe that? We read what David said. When we really believe that, we understand everything we do, God knows about it. That's a comforting thing because we can't go anywhere and get beyond God. He's everywhere we go. But also should be convicting for us. Everything we do, God sees it. God sees our heart this morning. God sees our motives this morning. God sees what we're trying to do for him this week and this morning. And so it should motivate us to realize that someone is watching. God sees that. And she believed that God was who he said he was. She believed that God was God in the heaven above and in the earth beneath. So she believed in what God had done in the past. She believed in who God was. And then go back to Joshua chapter 2. Let's look at verse 9. Verse 9. She said unto the men, these men show up, and this is the first thing really. She's hid them and told them where to go, but this first, she's really talked to them. Verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. And that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She believed in what God had done in the past, and she believed in who God was, and because of that, she believed in what God was going to do. You know, they show up, and she says, I know God's going to give you this land. Now, God hadn't done it yet, right? In fact, we don't even know how it's going to happen. Remember, we're talking about Jericho here with the walls. Now we know the story that the walls came tumbling down. But Joshua didn't know the story yet. Rahab didn't know the story yet. These two spies, they didn't know what God was going to do. And this was a city that was just, in many ways, impenetrable. They couldn't get through that. How were they going to conquer this? But she said, I know. I know what God's going to do. I know what your God's going to do. Now, this is a statement of faith. Can you imagine these two men? They come into a city, to an area. They're able to get in there somehow. And then, this is the Canaanites who they're supposed to destroy, right? These are the ones that God sent them to destroy, and they will. The very first person they come in contact with looks at them and says, I know your God's going to deliver this place into your hands. Man, can you imagine those men as they came back to Joshua? They say, Joshua, we went in, here's what happened, here's all. And this woman told us, man, that she knows God's deliverance is coming. And that had to be a great time for them as they heard that, but her faith in what God was going to do. She says, the Lord hath given you the land. It was just as if it was already done. She said, I know the Lord hath given you that land. She had a certainty about it. And let me tell you this morning, not only should we believe what God has done, but we also should have a belief and a certainty in what God's going to do. And God's going to do, God can do not only great things, we're looking in the future what God's going to do. There will be a day we're in heaven together because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So we can look at that with a certainty. This morning, if you're saved, it's as certain as if you were already there. You know that? I mentioned my neighbor, Buck Hatcher, he was saved. You know what? 2 days ago, he was here. Yesterday, he went to heaven. But either way, it was as certain as he was already there because his salvation had already taken place. And so just because he's in heaven today, he's changed location. Now he's gotten to see that happen. Rahab believed in what God was going to do. And when we truly believe what God was going and what God is going to do, it's going to motivate us to do more for him. So what does it motivate her to do? Well, look at verse number 12. She says, now therefore I pray, you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. You know what she said? She said, I want to see my family saved. Hey, some of you remember when you got saved? and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the first thing you wanted to do was what? I want to see my family saved, right? Maybe you had a brother or a sister. Maybe you're grown, you're adult, you had a brother, sister, or aunt, uncle, or grandparents, or parents even, or somebody. And you weren't sure about the salvation. And I remember my parents got saved when they were younger, in their early 20s. And I remember them talking about, I'm going to get to the family that wasn't saved and get the gospel to them and tell them about Jesus Christ. You know what, Rahab, you know why you wanted to do that when you got saved? It's because you really believed that if they died without Christ, they'd spend eternity in hell. And sometimes we've gotten a little more used to things, right? And we've been saved for a little bit longer, a little more callous. And let me tell you this morning. If there's someone that you know that's not saved, they die without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hell. They need Jesus Christ. And she knew what was coming. She knew with a certainty that, yes, God was going to deliver them, but she also knew that destruction was coming. She knew that defeat was coming for the people of Jericho. So she said, I want to make sure my family is taken care of. I want to make sure that they are saved as well. And so she understood that God was going to take care of it. God could save her. God could save her family. She said, we need our lives delivered from death. You know, if we truly believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do, it's going to motivate us to tell more people about him. Hey, this morning, do you really believe? I mean, again, Rahab believed. She didn't have anything. How in the world does she believe and trust in what God had done when she had never been around it before? You know, she'd heard about it. It also shows us this. Those people that were in Jericho, they all had the same opportunity she did. She chose to believe in what God had done, to believe in who God was, and to believe in what God was going to do. So, man, she had a rough background. She did. But she didn't do everything right. She didn't. But I tell you what she did. She believed in what Jesus Christ had done for her. She believed in who God was, and she believed in what Jesus Christ and what God could do for her. Close with this. Most of you all have heard this story before. You've heard the story of John Newton. John Newton was born really in a home that had a godly mother, had a father who was away on ships a lot and was not a believer. And had a pretty good childhood until about 7 years old. At 7 years old, his mom passed away. His mom passed away. His dad stayed out on the ships and eventually would remarry. And his stepmom had no interest in spiritual things at all. So John Newton began to go away from God in his life. And most of y'all have heard the story before, but he ended up having his own slave ship, basically, that he ran. And he talked about, man, how foul his mouth was, how much he cursed God, how much he hated God. There's some things he, of course, with his mother passing away, but then some other things that happened to him that he just hated God for. And he said this too. He said another problem he had was he enjoyed sin. He enjoyed sin. And so he was just a blasphemer of God through his teen years and into his 20s, and then God got a hold of him through some sickness and through some tribulations and some trials, and he made some decisions. It took a while, and eventually, of course, trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior and would go on to become a preacher and write over 300 hymns. And I want to read one of those for you this morning as we close, because he lived a life of sin, as we all have. But he lived a life of evil and wickedness. And of course, the hymn that he wrote that we most identify, right, is one of our favorites, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that was one that he wrote. But this one he wrote was really, he said, more of his personal testimony than any other hymn. It's not one we sing, but it's one that I think is very telling with the words here. Here's what he said. It said, an evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never till my dying breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sin, his blood had spilled, and helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. When shall my trembling soul be hid? For I, the Lord, have slain. He finishes with this, a second look. He gave which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I died that thou mayest live. Now you know what? Jesus Christ died for our sin. And as John Newton wrote, he almost as he saw Jesus look at him, and man, you're the one that put me on the cross, and we were. But Jesus looked again and said, hey, I forgave you. That's why I died on the cross. Hey, this morning, do you believe in what God's done for you? Do you believe in who God is? And do you believe in what God's going to do? Father, thank you for the truth of the Word of God, and for the fact that this morning, no matter how dark our past may be or what we've done to take us away from you, the blood of Jesus Christ covers all sin. And Lord, those Israelites that were getting ready to conquer the land of Canaan, where they could trust you and know that you'd save them, but also the group that they were about to conquer, as Rahab did, where they also had the opportunity to trust in what you've done. Lord, I pray this morning, first of all, there's someone here that's not saved. I pray they trust you this morning. And then, Lord, as we look at the life of Rahab and what she did, and not only did she trust you for herself, that's great, but she also believed in what you could do. That's why she went and tried to save those around her. She believed. And that faith that she had motivated her to serve you and to live a life, really, from this point on that would please you. Lord, help us this morning to live a life of faith, a belief in who you are and what you've done, in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. Everybody standing, nobody looking around. Let me just ask you this, a couple questions very quickly. If you're here this morning and you say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I'm not perfect, I'm a sinner, and my sin is no better than anybody else's, no worse than anybody else's, but it's sin before God. And that sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ, and I've accepted that payment. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for certainty, just as Rahab said, she knew for certain what God was going to do. I know for certain, if I was to die today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. If you can say it this morning, just put your hand up. Say, I know I'm saved this morning. Put your hand right back down. Thank you. If you're this morning, you say this. You say, listen, I'm not sure about my salvation. Let me tell you what, Jesus Christ died for you. He died to pay for your sins. You say, but I'm not good enough. None of us are. There's none righteous, no, not one. My good works can't get me to heaven.
What can get me to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. So this morning, you say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I don't know for sure. I don't know if I die today, I go to heaven. I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I do want you to be honest before God and just put your hand up and say, just pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. If you're like this morning, just slip your hand up and say, just pray for me this morning. Pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation.
If you're saved this morning, and did Rahab live a life of faith that would be greater than ours? I mean, she really believed that God was going to do what he said. Do we truly believe it? Are we living that way? As the music plays this morning, as the Lord spoke to you, you come forward. Thank you. so good to have you here. Be back tonight if you can. Got our choir practices in place, junior choir, and then service at 6 o'clock. And we'll talk tonight. Listen, our theme this year is God's Word. We'll talk tonight about how, you know, our response to God's Word, how much it shapes our life and decisions we make. And we'll talk about Abraham some and what he did when God spoke to him. So talk about that tonight. So be back in here for that. Wednesday night, Master Club 6:30. We'll talk about Proverbs. Excited about that on Wednesday night as well. And enjoy the joy of sunshine today. I believe, all right, I don't want to say anything that's not true in the house of God. I believe it's actually above freezing out there, all right? So get out there, and maybe not short sleeves, but at least above freezing for a little while. I can't promise how long that'll last. So anyway, enjoy that today, and be back in tonight. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings on our lives. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word, and I pray, Lord, we'd live a life based on our faith. Lord, of course, our faith for salvation. Then beyond that, Lord, we believe what you've said. And so I pray that we live that way. Give us a great week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.